I hope this will be an interactive process. So can I ask you to help me out here as we consider how Jesus got here? I wonder if any of you rode a horse to church this morning. Did anybody ride a horse to church this morning? No? No? Oh, I was going to get you to stand up if you'd ridden a horse to church this morning. Right, let's try another one. Did anybody walk to church this morning? Stand up if you walked to church this morning, please. Yeah, come on, I know some of you did. Lovely. Oh, fantastic. What an encouraging number of people. Thank you very much. Thank you. Who came on public transport? Is there any left on a Sunday? No? Yes? Ah. Who came by bike? Only me. I am still standing up. Yes, only me. Okay, this is the one I came. Okay. Finally, who came by car? I guess a lot of people came by car. Did you come by car this morning? Yeah? Go on, you can stand up if you want. Yeah. All right, lovely. Thank you very much. Okay. Now we're thinking about transport. And that's the first thing we've got to think about. How did Jesus get here? How did Jesus get to Bethlehem, to the world? That's where we start with the Christmas story, isn't it? The pure facts. How did this baby arrive? How did he get here? I think you know some of it, don't you? You've just seen some of it in the last few minutes. Angel visits, worried parents, a marriage threatened before it was even celebrated, shepherds, wise men, all of that, the long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which went on to Egypt in haste and fear, and years later the return to Nazareth. But aren't there some more important facts than these? It's not just the physical, how we got here this morning, how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem. There's some more important facts, aren't there? A virgin birth, a mother, Mary, an ordinary lady, like perhaps half of us here today, a father, God, the Holy Spirit, working a miracle so that a complete baby is born without the involvement of a human father. This is not some science that we can test and repeat. It's not something we will find an example of in the animal kingdom or in science fiction novels. This is a miracle. And verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1 reminds us, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Luke gives us a few more details. It's always good to check your sources, isn't it? Is this story true? We might doubt if only Matthew had said it, but listen to Luke. Luke, in his account, the angel says to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus." And the angel answers her concerns. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, how did Jesus get here? It was a miracle. It was truly unique. This is special. It's never happened before, and it's never happened again. There was once in the whole of human history that a baby has been born like this. Now, we often say unique, don't we? But you know what? You can really say unique for this occasion. Well, if his arrival is so special, so unique, who is he and what has he come to do? Who is he and what has he come to do? These are the questions that matter, aren't they? Let's get a little bit further on from the history and let's ask the important questions. There's no way that a unique baby like this is born for no other reason. To be like you or me. He's not like you or me. So what is he? Who is he? Why is he here? What has he come to do? These are the questions that really matter. Now the young people have started to explain that to us, haven't they? That's what they did. The young people, as they retold the birth narrative, have reminded us that Jesus Christ, born in this way, is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's born in this way to show us, even from his birth, that he is God with us. He is fully God and fully man. Now, there's a shorthand word for that that we use, and I thought you might have seen it on a Christmas card, and I thought I'd get the young people to concentrate again on what we're doing, so I need you all to help me, because we're going to play hangman, young people. All right, here we go. Can we play hangman? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to make it's not too difficult. You've got six goes to get this right. Can you all stand up, please, young people? Stand up. And anybody else who wants to join in, if you want to join in, walk your way around the front very quickly. Come on. Come on, we're going to play hangman. Come on. Okay, now then, what I need is, I need the youngest person over here on my right. Sorry, Susie, that means you're going the wrong way. The youngest person over here on my right, your left, and the oldest one towards this end. We'll start down here, and we'll see if I can win. No, sorry. We'll see if we can. Now, can you see that screen at the back, young people? Or if you can't, turn and face this one. Now then, all right. The way it works is this. I'm going to start down here, which means it's harder for you, because if you make mistakes, it might end in, we don't want to go there. So let me start down here. Let's have the first two or three. I'll tell you what, I'll come to you two twins in a second. We'll get Lissy to go first. Would you like to pick a letter, Lissy? Which letter would you like?
T.
Sorry, was that a T? T for tiger? Yeah, T for tiger. Can we try T for tiger, please? T for tiger. Oh, not good. All right, twins. Okay, guys, what shall we have?
J. A
J? J for Jesus. Yeah. Okay, let's try that one. Oh dear, don't forget this word means God with us. All right, can I squeeze down here? Squeeze down here. Pasha, would you like to pick a letter?
Sa.
Sa, an S. Sissy, sa, snakey, sa. Right, okay, getting a bit tougher, but these kids are a bit bigger, aren't they? I don't know if I'm allowed to use the word kids anymore with these. Clara, give us an E, please. Oh, give us a letter, please.
M.
M. Oh. Can I have a letter, please?
Maybe an I.
Maybe an I. Yeah, can I have a letter, please?
L.
L. Yes, can I have a letter, please, Susie? A N. Can I have a letter, please?
A.
Can I have one more letter, please?
You.
Lovely. Young people, thank you. Please go back to your seats. Emmanuel, well done. All right. This is what we learnt first from what the young people presented to us, from the baby Jesus having that unique form of birth with a human mother and God the Holy Spirit as his father. He is God with us. He is fully God and fully man. And whenever you hear the word Emmanuel, don't think, oh, funny old word, I don't know what it means. Think God, fully God, with us, all of humanity. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. So he is Emmanuel, God with us. But what did he come to do? What did he come to do? That's the question we must ask, and we must understand it from the words of the text and from the name of baby Jesus. You did know that names mean something, don't you? Yes? I'm sure many of you have looked up what your name means. Okay? But names mean something. And the name Jesus, the Bible tells us, is a special name, and it means something. The name Jesus is actually just a translation from an older word, from an older language. It's the same as the name Joshua. Is there a Joshua here this morning? Sometimes there is. No? No? Okay. Well, Jesus and Joshua are the same thing, and they mean God saves. The Lord saves is the real meaning of Joshua, and we understand that now as God saves. But what does he save us from? That's the real question, isn't it? If he is the one who saves, what does he save us from? Young people, can I ask you again? You don't need to come out for that. Can you imagine for me the worst situation that you need saving from? Who's got good imagination? Give me a story. What might you need saving from? Harrison?
You're trapped in a forest and it's night and you don't know where you're going.
Trapped in a forest at night? Do I take it because you've got no torch?
Yeah.
And no compass? Okay, can anybody advance on that for me? Come on, young people. You've had a go. Come on, young people. Who can go better than that? Susie. There's loads of wolves and you can hear, woo, you can hear them howling, yes? And you're in sinking sand. Okay, this is getting quite serious. Okay, can we make it any worse? Name's gone blank. Kaylee, yes. Okay, it's flooded and the air's running out. Lissy, there's a shark in the water. So if the wolves don't get you, the sharks will. Yes, young man. And the pool is going to burn. So there's oil or something on the top, and this is getting quite scary. Is it one more? Come on then, Harrison.
The forest is on fire, and the planet's about to explode.
The forest is on fire itself. And the planet is about to explode. What a dreadful situation. But friends, I need to say to you this morning that Jesus has come to save us from something that's worse than all of that. Far worse than all of that. And it might be difficult for us to conjure in our minds and with our imaginations what could possibly be worse than all of that. But you see, what that text told us a few minutes ago when we read it was that Jesus comes to save us from our sins. Sin is what we do when we do something opposed to God and all his goodness. Sin is what we do when we tell lies or when we hit out at somebody. Sin is whenever we do anything that God doesn't want us to do. Now, young people, I need to say to you again what sin is like. I wonder if you remember back in the summer you saw the grass growing in the garden and there was a dandelion there. Did you see dandelions this summer? Yeah, in the garden or on the school playing field, something like that. And did you ever wonder, don't like those dandelions? Did you ever do that? All right. Do you know what the dandelion is thinking? Ha ha, I'm a weed and I'm in your garden. What do you do about that then? Do you come along and knock his head off? Do you? Do you come along and knock his head off? Who knocks heads off dandelions? I don't like them in my garden. Who knocks heads off dandelions? Do you know what happens if you knock the head off a dandelion? He grows back. Does he grow back on his own? He usually grows back with his friends. Ha 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 ha! There's two or three of them now, aren't there? What's the only way to deal with dandelions? Yes, young man. Dig them out, root them out, and maybe when you've got them out, scoot a bit around up down there as well, or whatever it takes to. You've really got to work hard to get those weeds out of the garden, haven't you? Well, brothers and sisters, friends, sin is like that in our lives, unless you pull it out by the roots and completely remove it from your life, it will go on getting worse and worse and worse. And that's just something we can't do. When we try and change our lives, it's like knocking the head off the dandelion. We need root surgery. We need someone who can change the whole thing, dig out the whole problem. That sin, you see, eventually leads to us being completely separated from God and all things good. Sadly, the world thinks that at the end of our lives we go to some happy place. But if there's sin in our hearts, if that root is still there, that's not going to happen. Because the happy place is with God. The righteous place is where he is, where only good exists. And if there's sin in our hearts, we couldn't go there. Because we'd spoil it. We take our dandelions with us and spoil that green, green grass. But Jesus offers to deal with the sin, to root it out, to get right down into the roots and deal with my heart, the center of all that I am, the center of all that you are. so that the sin that even so deeply rooted in my heart can be ripped out and dealt with, never to grow again. Jesus saves. He saves us from our sins. That's the unique solution. That's why we needed a unique baby, just that once in the whole of human history, to save us from our sins. And both Mary and Joseph show us how to respond to this fantastic truth and this wonderful offer. Because when the angel comes with the message, they say, yeah, I'm up for this. I'm part of this. I will take this. I will be a part of what you're doing, God. And the question has to be asked this morning, why would you leave a gift behind? Because baby Jesus is for you today, for everyone today. He is a free gift of eternal life. He is a free gift of sin dealt with and a hope for the future. Mary and Joseph heard from the angel, this is God's work. God saying, this is what I'm up to. And they said, okay, I'm up for that. I'll do what I've been told. I'll play my part, even if it's difficult and it might mean people thinking I'm odd or weird for a while. I'm still going to do my part. Now, I'm putting words in their mouths, but that's in effect what happens and what they say. And that's what we need to do today, especially if you've never done it before, especially if this is something completely new. If you never thought about sin and how Jesus saves you from it, then today is the day. Why would you leave this gift behind? As we finish this service in just a few minutes, why not come up and see me before you grab a cup of coffee? I'll be over there by the door. I'd love to talk it through. Maybe you need that cup of coffee. Go and grab the cup of coffee and then come and see me. I'll still be by the door. It will be lovely to talk this through. Christmas is a time of giving gifts. And on the table there at the door, we've got some gifts for you. If you've not been to church for a long time, if you're not a regular in church, then we've got a gift bag there with some books and some things for the younger people, pencils and colouring and things like that. And we'd like for you to have that today. And if you've been challenged by what you've heard and you've never sat down and read the Christmas story or the rest of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got a Bible there we'd like you to take away with you so that you can read the real, complete account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's gift for you today. And I would like very much for everyone here to go home with the gift of knowing, truly knowing who Jesus is and knowing him at work in their heart. Why would you go home without that gift? Why would you leave the gift behind, especially such a unique one as this? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, God with us who saves. We ask today that you would save us. Save us first, our Father, from our sin. Help us to see who Jesus is, how he is unique, how he is the only one and the only way, and how we need him to have sin rooted out of our lives. And Father, we pray that you, in your glory and majesty, would reveal yourself and your power and save us from the effects of sin as well. There are friends who are not with us today because they are sick, and we know others who are unwell. And we pray for them, Father, and ask that you would bring about the end of their sickness. We pray, our Father, for the homeless. We remember and support Beacon House at Christmas time, and we pray, our Father, that you would bring an end to this situation where there are people who have no roof over their heads. And we pray for the work of Beacon House that meets with these people and seeks to help them. Strengthen that work, we pray. We look further afield, our Father, and we see the effects of sin in our world, in wars, in refugees, in difficulties and troubles and disagreements. And then we see those escalating between countries. And we pray for all countries where there is war at this time. We pray, our Father, particularly for Syria and Iraq. Pray, our Father, for the countries of Ukraine and Eastern Europe. We pray, our Father, for all areas that need true peace. Please save us from the effects of our sin, we pray. And for ourselves, our Father, we ask you would use us as your agents today and all this Christmas season. Make us more like Christ, that we might be peace to the world. Amen.